Thank you very much, Madam Chair. I think we're all looking forward to this discussion in our second week when we were finally talking about the two mechanisms, which seem to be the big star of this two-week meeting. Much already has been said last week, but as we all know, this has been in an informal mode, so it's also important that we as states parties express ourselves in a formal part of this meeting. On how we see the S&T mechanisms, and we are very happy to share some views from our side in this regard. We also will have some views through the channel of the European Union, which we fully align with. Madam Chair, we want to thank the facilitators for their hard work on this topic. I think their outcome document and what we can now find in the chair's proposal is extremely useful and the result of hard negotiations over many years. And as we always also want to point out, before these hard negotiations over a few years by the friends of the chair, there has been people who previously worked on this for many, many years, even decades. So we are standing on the shoulders of giants here, and I think we are there to reach the stars, if I want to can be a little bit cheesy today, but I think we are really in a good place. Madam Chair, the responsiveness and relevance of our convention largely depends on our ability to assess and adapt to new developments. We currently witness rapid technological change and progress within the life sciences, accelerated in convergence with other new technologies such as artificial intelligence. At the same time, technological barriers are increasingly lowered through information and communication technology. As a result, security challenges surrounding biological weapons are increasingly complex and difficult to assess. Article 12 of the BWC foresees that reviews shall take into account any new scientific and technological development relevant to the Convention. The lack of appropriate means to assess and respond to technological change is currently a weakness in the implementation of our Convention, and as such challenges the whole purpose. The mechanism will also have a valuable impact on the efficiencies of other articles, including Article 7 and Article 10. The mechanism will be of benefit to states parties and their national experts in assessing possible biological threats and in identifying means to address them on a national or international level. In light of all this, the decision in the last review conference to establish such a mechanism has been an important step into the right direction. We also need to recall that this decision has been the result of discussions of the past intersessional periods over many years and decades. We are supportive of the current outline of the mechanism in the latest document proposed by the chair. We stand ready to discuss all the outstanding questions in order to finalize a document that is agreeable to all states parties by the end of this week and adopt both the S&T and the ICA mechanism in 2025 in line with the decision of the 9th Review Conference. We, as the large majority in this room, support the hybrid model for the mechanism in order to address concerns as well as broad participation. It is important that the mechanism provides for expert advice in a fully independent and impartial manner. It further needs to provide a variety of perspectives through diversity in skill, gender, and geographical representation. We therefore support the current mechanism of selection through the Bureau and the relevant provisions on general selection and independence. Temporary working groups will add to the usefulness and skill set of this mechanism in line with the needs of states' parties. Another crucial element is to build in-house capacities, initially through the establishment of additional positions within the ISU. This will be extremely helpful and needed in our further work on an organizational strengthening of the Convention. We also require increased and structured cooperation with other relevant stakeholders, such as the science community, and relevant international organizations such as the WHO or FAO, among others. Let me close by underlining the urgency with which we have to act. Facing rapid scientific and technological advancements in relatively short time spans, and in light of the recent experience of a pandemic, the Convention needs to expand its field of vision and strengthen its capabilities in the shortest time possible. I thank you.